Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly 60-minute expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live, for the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Welcome to The Watchman for this second program of 2016. Last time I was supposed to speak about some of the things I'm going to talk about today. However, I felt the leading of the Lord to talk about the subject of from the parable of feeding the 5,000, a message that really revolutionized my financial life, and I believe can do the same for you if you followed it and if you really, really understand it. Now, but today I'm going to talk about some of the things that we can be looking up to this year, that we expect this year. Some of them are good, some of them are not good. But I'll divide them into things that you expect to happen in the church and those that you expect to happen out of the church in the world, in the world, and that is in regard to Bible prophecy. Things that you expect to unfold in the political world, pointing towards the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Now, that's my work. Now, here, I'll start with the things that we should expect within the body of Christ, within the church. And I have seven here that I have received from my time seeking the Lord that we can expect. And the first one, which is why I was led to preach about the subject of feeding the 5,000 last time, is the issue of money. And this and this year there is going to be a real financial anointing that will manifest speedily. And when I say manifest speedily, I mean speedily, because one of the factors of the end time is that what they call the quickening of the times. Everything happens fast because the time is short. Now, it's more or less the same as what was happening towards the coming of the Lord. Or even if you look at our natural lives, what happens, for instance, when something is about to be given birth to, or when a person is about to give birth, a lady is about to give birth. Now, she starts having contractions, but as she goes closer and closer towards the delivery, everything is speeding up. Everything speeds up and they start coming faster, and now that's what shows that the delivery is about to come forth. Now, that is true for so many other things. Now, if you look at, I've told you this before, the period between Malachi, for instance, and towards the end, towards just before the birth of the Messiah, is about 400 years in there. So that one blank page that is in your Bible represents 400 years. Now, in that time, there was hardly any Bible prophecy, fulfillment of Bible prophecy. It was basically almost a dark period in terms of things happening. But now, as the Messiah came, as the time of the Messiah being born came closer, everything started happening fast. Now everything that is prophesied is falling in place, because it's about to give birth to that. Now we are coming to the end of all things, not just the coming of the Messiah, which was a big dispensation in the kingdom of God. However, it was just the beginning, not the end. Now we are coming to the end of all things, and now everything has to happen fast. Actually, if you read the fifth trumpet in the book of Revelation, speaks about a third of the day, okay, which means that what could have been like a day is, you only get two thirds of the day, and that's a full day. Now, I'll tell you a mystery. If you see, for instance, look back at 2015 and see how quickly the years rush. Now, of course, these things happen at a spiritual level, and like, of course, you say, no, this is the same, this remains the same, but at that level, everything happens faster. Now, I'm telling you about spiritual seasons and everything. Now, of course, there's some teaching that has been going around that there's nothing special about the beginning of a new year. Everything remains the same, and that is being fronted by people, of course, who are of the grace dispensation, of the grace persuasion, to which I also belong. But then, it is birthed out of a total lack of knowledge, complete lack of knowledge. You understand? Because a year is not just a year. A year is when the earth goes around the sun, and all these things were created by God. And when you look in Revelation, he says, "Let it be for the times and for the seasons." That, you know, created the earth, the sun, and the one said, "Let it be," and the galaxies, and says, "Let them be for the time and the seasons." Now, the seasons God is talking about are not necessarily, you know, the natural seasons of winter, summer, or dry season, rainy season, whatever. These are also spiritual seasons. So, when the year changes, it's not just the year that has changed. Now, of course, we're not going to start having 25 hours in a day or anything different. In the physical, nothing changes. And now, those people who are making that argument were very illiterate of what happens in the spiritual. In the spiritual realm, so many things change. And it's not just like that. I mean, when you go from December to January, it's not just December to January. So many things change. And all these things, I mean, when you get into a different year, and even if the years are not prophetic per se, but the fact that 365, the number of years might not be prophetic. For instance, how did it pick anything out of the year 6, out of 16, and things like that? That means nothing, because all these years were instituted by the Romans, and I've told you before, they estimated the date of the birth of Jesus, but they even got it wrong. They got it about 3 years wrong, but that's not important. The important thing is that when the year changes, it's been a cycle of 365 years. Now, that was created by God, and he says it is for seasons. So don't believe. There are things which, you know, if you're a carnal person, you just get and believe, and they make a lot of carnal sense, but they are very shallow, and they can deprive you of a freshness of a season, which is what we are talking about here today, because there's a freshness of a season that comes around. Now, I'm telling you that we are entering into a period where everything is going to be happening speedily, and the financial anointing, and a real transfer of wealth. Now, you've heard all these things before. I have been in the church for so many years, more than 20 years, and I have heard people talking about prosperity. I've heard people talking about prosperity, but it is only the real manifestation of prosperity started towards the end of last year. But those were just really birth punks. Now, this one is going to be a real manifestation of prosperity in the church. And I've told you here before that I told you what was revealed to me of the Lord from the parable of sowing, feeding 5,000, and why that is so important. Now, I am telling you, the rate at which your seeds are going to be giving birth is going to be faster than it has ever been. And it is because that is a grace. A financial grace is released for everybody, as many as will receive it. Okay, the means by which you tap into that grace hasn't changed. Of course, there are people who will go and, you know, people can twist a doctrine and turn it around and turn it to mean what they want it to mean rather than what actually it is, even if the initiality of the doctrine might be right. But everything is subject to being abused, just know that. But anyway, because it's a financial grace that is released, and a grace, number one, to remove children of God out of debt. Now, if you are in debt, I want you to start believing God to be out of debt in record time, no matter how big, how humongous your debts might be. I want you to start believing God to get out of debt, because that is often the first step towards true prosperity. Because when you are in debt, remember, there are certain, you know, people think that spiritual principles can be altered. Now, spiritual principles are all in the Bible for everybody. The Bible is the book for spiritual principles for everybody, even those who don't believe in the Bible. But it actually puts out spiritual principles. Now, if you hear what the New Agers say and everything, all of them go back to the Bible, because that's where God institutes spiritual principles. Now, the spiritual world is governed by God, and he's the one who puts all the principles in play. The devil cannot change anything. It is all there. But he knows the world, and he manipulates people who live in this world but don't understand the spiritual world. But they can understand it if they actually read the Bible, because those who don't necessarily believe in the Bible believe in God. Not that they don't believe he exists, but those who don't serve God read the Bible to get spiritual principles. Now, what am I saying here is the principle by which you tap into the grace does not change. But it's important for all children of God to get out of that, because there's the Bible says a borrower is a servant of a lender. A borrower is a servant of the lender. Now, that you cannot change that. There is nowhere it is changed. You cannot change it. It's stated there in the Bible. It is not going to be changed. Now, if somebody, if you are indebted to somebody, according to scripture, you are a servant of that person. So now, in order to come out of that servitude, of that slavery, so to speak, you have to get out of that debt. And now, thankfully, I am telling you, the grace to get you out of debt is there. So even if it is a bank, even if it's, and of course you are going to go and be indebted to people who are not born again, and the devil will use that, because for him he knows that principle is there, so he can kind of manipulate you and even turn you around and ensure that you don't get into the financial prosperity you want, because you are indebted. Now, the grace to move out of debt is there, and it is there this year, and I want everybody to tap into it. And if you are in debt, I want you to believe God to come out of that debt and use the principles that we've spoken about here, and it will happen. And it's also and remember, it's now going to be happening faster. Initially, when we started sowing seeds, you sow a seed, you wait a number of months, sometimes even a year, before you really see the harvest of the seed. Now, that is not going to happen. It's going to be faster, and I'm telling you that is also biblical, okay? Because the Bible speaks the fifth trumpet. Go and read it. When the day is shortened, the days are shortened, actual day is shortened, okay? And even Jesus said in Matthew 24 verse 22 that unless the days were shortened. Now, that might mean, that actually does mean, it has two meanings. One of them is actual days shortened, but the other one also, days of everything shortened. It's not just talking about days towards the coming of the Lord, days of everything shortened. Now, I'm telling you, the incubation period between sowing and reaping is being shortened, so that now you will sow and reap a lot faster than it has ever been before. And I'm sure about that. So I want you to believe me and just tap into that grace, because it's available even to get you out of debt. Now, when you're out of debt and there is nobody who can say that you owe them any money, then now the beginning of your financial prosperity is there, because the same principle that got you out of debt, if you understood it, is going to get you to become a lender rather than a borrower. Now, that's one of the main things. I can tell you so many dreams I've had towards this, including one that I had in 2013, and it came at a time when I was not, I was, at the period I got it, actually, it was at a very good time for me financially, but then I got a dream in which God was basically telling me a huge financial thing that was coming, and it sounded good, but at the time I was kind of low financially. So I'm like, God, you really have a nice sense of humor, because you're telling me all these big things now when I could just use, you know, a couple of hundred thousands to sort me. But I know that's how God does, and we are getting into that period right now, this year, starting like 2 weeks ago, if you know what I mean, the beginning of this year. Now, that is going to be a major thing for this year. Believe God for unique financial prosperity, which takes you not just the talk, not just the usual talk that is in churches of somebody bought a car and bought a house or built a house and what. I mean, I'm talking about real possessions, because there is wealth in this world that is not going to go anywhere. Now, God wants that wealth in the hands of his children, because if it is not in the hands of his children, it is in the hands of the devil's children. It is not going anywhere. It is on this earth. It has to be one place or the other. Now, if you're the kind of person who gets angry when they tell you that a certain preacher is very rich and is planning to buy a plane, and that gets you angry, then you are in serious trouble, because you are going to be left behind like this. Because children of God have, and that is an attitude that has been sowed by the devil, whereby a good preacher is supposed to be broke, a good rock star, a good doctor, a good musician, a good every other thing is supposed to be rich. The only good person who is supposed to be poor is a preacher. Now, when you hear a preacher in a private jet, then you get angry. How can he have a private jet? How can he, what, drug dealers are in private jets? And let me tell you, the wealth that is they are using to get those jets is on the earth. It is not going to heaven. God does not need the wealth in heaven. He has a lot more where that came from. So it is on earth. So if it is not with the children of God, it is going to be with drug dealers and people who are promoting homosexuality and bestiality and all those things. So if it is not in the hands of those who are preaching the gospel, it is going to be in the hands of those who are not.
and who are preaching what is contrary. So if you find, if you hear about a man of God who is very rich and that gets you angry, that is a manifestation of the demon of poverty. There is no greater manifestation of a demon of poverty than somebody who is offended when he hears about a man of God who has money, because that is not anywhere scripture. The only person who was like that was Judas Iscariot, when he sees them lavishing an expensive perfume on the feet of Jesus. Who gets indignant? Who gets angry? Judas Iscariot. And what excuse does he use? The poor. That is always the excuse that people will use when they are trying to, and they don't know what it, where it comes from, but it springs out of them believing that men of God have got to be poor. And that is a very demonic mindset, which has actually kept men of God poor. Because as long as you believe it, it will be true for you. Now, Judas Iscariot looks at, I mean, that thing cost 300 denarii, according to the estimation of Judas Iscariot himself, who should have known, because he's a money man. He's one of those people who are hungry for money. Now, he says, oh man, what a waste of perfume. I mean, you make perfume, you put it on Jesus, then this man says, what a waste. Perfumes are supposed to be used on people anyway. So if he's, what he's trying to say, I mean, Jesus is, you know, basically fake. And that's the attitude, okay? When you think servants of God are not supposed to have good things. So when Jesus is there and he's going to die, he's about to die, and this person whose life he has blessed comes and lavishes an expensive perfume on him, Judas Iscariot is angry and indignant, and he says, what a waste. Why didn't they sell this perfume for 300 denarii? 300 denarii is about a year's wages for labor, was about a year's wages for labor, because somebody worked one day and got a denarius, according to so many parables in the Bible. So 300 denarii were 300 days of labor. So now that's almost your annual wages. Now imagine what your annual wages are if you are, you know, a prosperous chap. And now imagine a perfume costing that much. That's how much they poured on Jesus' feet. Not even his face, you know, his feet. Okay? And Judas Iscariot said it's a waste. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, no, it's no waste. She has kept this for the day of my burial. Let me also have nice things. Why are you angry? Because I'm having nice things. Basically, I'm paraphrasing what Jesus was saying. So now, in the spirit that thinks that men of God are supposed to be poor is a demonic manifestation of the spirit of poverty. There is no other. Now, you have to get that mindset out of you and start celebrating. Psalms 34 verse 27 says, blessed be the name, blessed be the Lord who delights in the prosperity of his servants. Now, God is happy when his servants prosper. The question is, are you happy? But God is. We know that from the Bible. Psalms 35 verse 27. We know that the Lord delights, rejoices over the prosperity of his servants. Now, you have to turn your mindset around completely, even you yourself, so that you start understanding that as a child of God, you deserve the best things in this world because this world belongs to God. Now, some people don't think they deserve the best things. They think that the people of the world, because for them they are going to hell, they deserve the best. No, you are supposed to have the best of both worlds. The best of both worlds. That's what God wants for you to have. I remember a time when I had to get this mindset out of me, and I had a diary. Every day I would write down on my diary, I am a child of God, Jesus Christ died that I have the best things, and I am going to have the best things in this world. I deserve them. I deserve them because the Son of God shed his blood for me to have them. I deserve them. If it was my father and he had worked so hard and left me a lot of property, lands and houses, and then he goes and I say, man, I don't deserve all these things, and then some thieves come and take away that property. Imagine if my father would be looking up from wherever he is and says, my son, I worked so hard for you, and you've given up, you've given those things to thieves. Now that's what Jesus feels when his children are living in destitution, yet he suffered and died for you to have the best of this world and of the world to come. Guaranteed. You're supposed to have the best of this world and the best of the world to come. The best of both worlds, so to speak. Now, the Lord sees
when the devil has cheated you out of your reward through philosophy, through wrong teachings, through things like that, and he is not happy. Now, I used to write down in a diary every day, I deserve the best. I deserve the best things in this world because I'm a child of God. Jesus Christ died that I may have these things. So to make him happy, I am actually going to have them. So that I have them and I have him and I have the best of this world. And when I die, the best of the world to come. And then that way Jesus is happy. When I understood that, that's what makes him happy. Now, I have to keep on pumping this in some people's heads because some people still think very religiously. And there's this religious mindset, which is... So I wrote those things every day in a diary. I would fill a whole page. The next day, I fill a whole page writing the same thing. I deserve the best. I'm a child of God. Jesus died that I may have the best. Jesus was was born into poverty and became poor, that I, through him, might be rich. That is scripture, 2 Corinthians 8:9. So I kept on saying those things over and over again until it got into my head, until I got it into this head, removed all the religious mindset regarding wealth and put it in my head that I deserve the best. Okay? Now, if that's what it's going to have to take for you to do it, you do it. But I know that this is a year when God wants to give his children divine blessings. But there's one thing that might stand in the way of it. And I actually wrote a book about it. And the book is called The Rich Man Virus. And it's on sale in these bookstores. If you can't find it there, you come to the night prayer and get it. But I would recommend as much as possible people to read the book, The Rich Man Virus. Because as soon as you settle a certain thing inside your heart, as soon as you put... your heart, you put money in its place, and your attitude towards money is right, because there are all sorts of extremes in regard to attitude towards money. There's an attitude which over glorifies it and all those things, and there's an attitude which almost shuns it and makes it sound like it is evil, and none of those are true. Now, when you actually get the true attitude that you're supposed to have through money, and I wrote a very good book, I am one of the best writers in this country, probably the best, and I'm saying that with all due humility, okay, not the best, but one of the best, okay? I wrote a very good book called The Rich Man Virus. Go and get it. I am teaching something very profound, a revelation which was given to me by God in 2011. If you get this right, if you get your attitude towards money right, then there will be no reason whatsoever why you do not have loads and loads and loads of it. And up to the other day, the Lord revealed to me something else, something different, about why it's important for some people to first get their attitude and money right. Then afterwards, they are ready for everything God can give. And he will just lavish it too much on you and just overwhelm you with it. That's what his plan is. And I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen this year. So as much as possible, if you can, okay? I know Ugandans are not so good at buying books, material to read. They would rather say, lend me, give me. No, there is no lending, there is no giving, you have to buy it, okay? Because if it does not cost you something, you not even read it. But then, it's a very interesting book. Most people, I know somebody who told me he has never read any single book and finished it. But he told me he read my book in one sitting, and it's not a very small book. It's not very big either, but he read it in one sitting because he's a man of God. Anyway, so I want you to get those things. So that's the first thing. Year of financial prosperity. Remember your seed, the incubation time between the seed and the harvest is shortened. I am telling you that. The second thing today is this year is divine connections and divine disconnections. Now, the other thing that can really stand in the way of what God wants to do in somebody's life is when they are connected to a place that does not fit into what plan God has for them. Now, every time you're stepping into something different, you have to disconnect. I remember I was attending a church which I used to attend. I had a Bible study in the morning, and the people loved me so much because I taught them the Word of God. And you know I can teach the Word of God. So I taught them the Word of God. They liked me so much. But when the time came for me to leave there, and I felt it was time for me to leave, they had all sorts of reasons why I should not leave. The pastor liked me, still my friend, he even still calls me, and I minister in his church. But the Lord was telling me, you cannot step into the bigger thing I'm sending you to as long if you keep on holding on to this thing. Okay? And I'm not saying that telling you to leave it. My point is that sometimes you have to let go of something before God reveals to you the bigger thing. And don't expect for him to reveal it to you until you step out of this thing by faith. And you know, don't think God has changed from the God who told Abraham, come out of the land where you're born and come to a place which I will show you. First come out. He does not come and tell you, now I have this land called Canaan, first come and see if you like it. Now if you like it, then okay, you can leave your place. No, walk by faith, just believe me and trust me that you like it. Now move. I will not even tell you where it is. So you move day by day until God is telling you, go here, until he says, now this is the land, I'm giving it to you. Now that God has not changed from then, okay? Because it does not change. Now sometimes you have to step out, you have to disconnect before you can reconnect. And I'm telling you that everything, I was telling somebody that one of the best, the things that God has done for me, the most powerful things after my salvation, is he put me in contact with somebody. One person whom I met, apparently by accident, but it was of course not by accident, and that person turned my life totally around, because he had a much richer knowledge of God than I did. And by just being with him and fellowshipping with him, I learned so much. I knew I had a lot of knowledge, but it was based on the wrong foundation. Now that person put me on a very straight and proper foundation. And that's one of the best things that God has done to me, just putting me in contact with that one person. Now God is in the business of connecting you to somebody who is going to take you to the next level. It might be a business person, somebody who is going to fund an idea that you have. It might be somebody who is, taking you to a place, some place. It might not even be a place. It might not be a person, or it might be perhaps a ministry. But usually, it's a person, one person. And your next step is just one person away, one person who you will meet, and you transform your life totally. Now that's a whole message in its own, but I have to move on from there, because I have to mention the other things. So there's going to be divine disconnections. Do not. Somebody came to me the other day and having problems, and one of the issues she had, of course, is she was heavily indebted. But as I've told you, there is a grace to get out of debt, heavily indebted, and a giver, a nice person, okay, a giver, a believer, somebody who you think. But the one thing is, she was connected to a place which is dead. And people have emotional connections to places. I've never really understood. Okay, no, I understand. Okay, don't get me wrong, I understand. But I mean, people can be so emotionally connected to a place, and it is clear that the place is not working for them, but they are connected. Somebody came and asked me that, there's this church I go to, but I don't even anticipate what they are going to preach. I always know what, they have never said any word that has uplifted me. Actually, if I'm more or less, the messages that uplift my spiritual life, I get them from TV or from YouTube or from downloads of other preachers. But this church, nothing ever happens for me there when I go there. I don't even look forward to the preaching of the word, because there's nothing new they are going to say. So he's asking me, should I continue going there? And I said, man, what kind of a question is that? So I told him that if you went to the same restaurant, today they served bad food, tomorrow they served bad food, the other day they served bad food, would you continue going there for 1 year, knowing very well that they are going to give you bad food? Why do people get so emotional when it comes to things? If a place is not working, if your life is not transformed, if your life is going deeper and deeper and deeper into problems, if you join the church when you are prosperous and you've become poor along the way, and you see money has become tight, when you joined you kind of had money, you know, now you've been there, money has become tighter and tighter and tighter, you're downsizing, there is something not right about that place. Pure and simple. Don't force it. Your life should be your story. Don't try to come up with the doctrines and start giving testimonies. I thank God so much. The other day, somebody gave me 10,000 shillings. But when you went there, you did not need anybody to give you 10,000 shillings. 10,000 shillings was what you were tipping a waiter at a restaurant. But now, you don't realize you've downsized your ambitions to the point where 10,000 shillings is now a testimony. That time it wasn't. It was change. It was a sort of change. You tell somebody, keep the balance, who has served you a cup of tea or something like that. So now, if it is not working, don't force it. Children of God, if it is not working, don't force it. Go and find out. Pray to God. Seek the Lord. Where should I go? Where it is going to be working. And it should be working, moving you upwards.
if it is moving you downside, downwards, don't start coming up with doctrines of how God is teaching you humility and what. Where in the Bible did you see God teaching people humility through poverty? Then heaven would be the proudest, where people are proudest. I want you to understand, God does not use sickness, poverty. Those things don't exist where he lives. He can only give you what he has. Where he has, where he lives, there is no poverty. Okay? You cannot come to my house and I tell you to go to the pit latrine because it's not there. If you want to use the toilet, I'll give you the toilet that is there. Okay? Now, if you want a pit latrine, you're going to have to find it elsewhere. Not at my house. Now, that is just, now where God is, the streets are gold, there is absolute wealth, what you would call total waste. Now, he cannot give what he does not have. He does not have poverty where he is. He does not have sickness where he is. He cannot give it. There is nowhere where God gives sickness. He does not have it. It's not in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Jesus said. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If God gave sickness to anybody, then there would be sickness in heaven, because Jesus is saying God's will should be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if your sickness is God's will, then you had better believe when you go to heaven you'll be sick. If not that, then Jesus' prayer is a hoax. One of those two. But we know it's not a hoax. So we know there is no sickness in heaven. So we know God does not give sickness. So all sickness originates from the devil. All of it, every 100% sickness originates from the devil. Pure and simple. Now you can treat it in any way you want, but the truth is, it origin. There is no sickness where God is. There is no poverty where he is. Okay? So it cannot be, God's will cannot never be poverty. Because then you would believe there is poverty in heaven, because thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is what Jesus said. Okay? So if you believe there is no poverty in heaven, then you've got to believe it is not God's will for anybody to live in poverty and other things. Now, you have to get that in your head. Now, so if you are in a place which is not working for you, look for a place which has divine connection. Look for a divine connection. Look for a disconnection. It can be a disconnection from a person. I know so many people who have failed to disconnect from one person, and that one person is in your life to keep you stagnated. And I have been through that, where I could not move because I was still holding on to something whose time had passed. And I held on to it emotionally, nostalgically. And I held on to it, but its time had passed. And when I chose to move on, oh, something new opened up. And I regretted why I had held on to it. So you might be holding on to somebody, probably a man, who is wasting your time. And as soon as you let go of him, then God reveals to you who the true man in your life is supposed to be. Now, of course, I know I'm talking to somebody. Now you're holding on to him because he was a good, you have your nostalgic moments. But God has the proper person for you, just waiting in the wings. But he will not reveal that person to you until you let go of this. The day you just say, okay, I have let go, just give it a short while, bam, something new opens. And you say, what took me so long? God is taking us from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Now, the third thing. This is important. There's going to be a there is actually beginning to be started last year. Now it's going to be manifested this year, and you'll see it. A change of leadership in the church, and it is going to be very pronounced. You'll see it. It is going to be unmistakable. Totally unmistakable. So there are some people who were crowd pullers one time. But by the time this year ends, they will not even be able to gather 100 people of children of God who are born again. Because the leadership has changed and they did not notice. And this is going to become a very extremely pronounced thing. And by the way, the leadership in the church changes with the leadership in the nation. So you just know that. As the leadership in the church is happening this year, a leadership in the nation is happening this year. Now you just know that. So now, that's just the way it is. And these people are going to be stripped of their power to collect people. And I read you that scripture in Ezekiel 34 towards the end of last year, because I felt it was beginning to happen so much. Ezekiel 34, when God says that my people have been in shepherds who are not looking after them, but who are taking advantage of them, who are taking advantage of them, and who are, you know, feeding off them rather than feeding them. And then it goes on to say that these shepherds have let the sheep scatter abroad, and because the sheep have scattered, they have become prey for wolves. Read Ezekiel 34. And he says, but now I'm going to require those sheep at the hand of the shepherds. And I'm going to remove the sheep from them, because the shepherds have not been faithful. And I'm going to give the sheep to new people. Now, I know there are people who are pastors who are having small churches. small churches, some 50, 100 people, but they are serving God, and their motives are for serving God, and God is going to overwhelm them with people because they are being faithful in the few people that God has given them. Somebody was sending me a testimony here who teaches guitar. You know, his work is to teach people how to play guitar. So he was praying for God, and of course they pay him for it. So he was praying to God to send him more guitar students, and he said the Lord told him that you just be faithful with those that you have, and I will send you more automatically. Now you see, these are spiritual principles. If you are not faithful, those who are faithful in little will be faithful in much. And he says, if you are not faithful in what belongs to somebody else, who will give you your own? If you are not faithful in little, who is going to give you much? Who is going to entrust you with much? So now, those who are people, and you're faithfully praying for your people, teaching them the word of God, giving them the word in due season, okay? Uplifting them, trying to get them uplifted. You don't have to pray to God to give you more. Just be faithful with those that you have, and see how he's going to overwhelm you with so many others that have been in the hands of people who are not taking good care of them. That is Bible prophecy. You are going to see it this year, a complete change of leadership in the church. Now, something else. True God seekers are going to have, there's going to be a spirit of discernment. Now, we've had an issue where so many people love God and they are seeking God, but they are seeking him in the wrong places. They are seeking him in the wrong places because they don't know better. They don't know better, but their heart is right, and their heart is attuned towards seeking God. So now what's going to happen is that those people are going to get a sudden revelation of the spirit of discernment, and they will start seeing the places they have been attending where they have been taken advantage of. They will start seeing them for what they actually are, and then they will be able to discern very easily which is the right place to go. And they will be able to tell, very easily tell, between what is real and what's fake. Now, there is a lot of fake things in the church, and the children of God have fallen prey to fake things because they have not been discerning enough. Because they follow the crowd, because they follow the way somebody jumps and talks and sounds, you know, has a lot of swag and all those things. And the people they are following are servants of evil. Now, that is going to, you are going to see it. It is going to change in this year, and the people whose heart is attuned towards seeking God will find it so easy to discern between what is true and what is fake. Now it's going to be a lot easier for them. Then, and now this is the revival in the church this year is going to be started by children, and it's going to begin the beginning of the final end time harvest, which comes with the finance, with the discernment, with a number of other things. Increase of spiritual activity. Now, all these things come together: finance, discernment, increase of spiritual activity. Now, this is also going to be, you're going to see it pronounced this year, where it will be by the end of this year, it will no longer be a big deal if somebody tells you, "I saw an angel." Because there's going to be an increase of spiritual activity, tremendous. And even people who at the beginning of this year don't believe that there's going to be a time when they see an angel, they will be seeing angels, and it will be just like that. And you will know, you will always have this sense, this realization that you are not alone. There's somebody, there's some people, there's those who are for you are greater than those who are against you, and you will know that you are in control because you're a child of God and you're fulfilling the purpose of God, and you are a part of this great end time harvest, which is going to start coming in from all sorts of places, from the Arab world, from Russia, from the Middle East, okay? People who previously did not believe in God, but because of the things that are going to start happening, are going to start believing God. And there's going to be as God starts gathering in his final harvest for the coming of the Lord, for the rapture. And we just have to thank God that we are part of this, because it's going to be tremendous, absolutely tremendous, where people are doing things by the grace. You don't have to struggle. Where people once struggled and fasted 40 days, you just have to find somebody and a sense of authority, somebody in authority, submit to them, and you will pick what they have, and it will become easy for you to go and fulfill your ministry by the grace, and the grace to just accomplish, okay? And you'll accomplish so many things that you didn't even believe you were capable of accomplishing. And it's all going to be because God has equipped you, because the end time harvest has to come in, and it is starting 2016. Now, a number of things are going to happen, by the way, leading up to 2017, which are in the world, which I'll be talking about. But now I'm just talking about the ones which we should expect in the church. So revival in the church will start with school children, especially of university and college age, who are hungry for God. And there's a great hunger for God in the universities. Of course, there's also a great recruitment of the devil for the students into all sorts of weird things and things which are not of God and which are demonic. But there's also a hunger for God, and so many students are going to turn up and go and push seriously, and they are going to become powerful men of God. People who are in universities right now and sending me emails telling me this I dreamt that, and all these things, are going to turn up as very powerful people of God and carrying a very special grace to bring in the end time harvest. And it is happening in the universities, and it's going to create because God is going to use their youth to, and so he will equip them, and because their youth is a very powerful tool, they will go out there and win a number of souls and perform miracles and perform signs and wonders. And just by grace, people whom yesterday you saw him as a totally baby Christian, he did not even know the first principles. But because of the times in which we are living, in which everything has to be done fast because the Lord is coming, somebody turns around and the next day you find him and he's a totally different person. He's a different person. He's performing signs and wonders and healings, and things are happening like that. So it's going to be that sort of thing what we are talking about. So a revival of spirituality, not a revival of doctrine this dead orthodoxy of, you know, where somebody says this is the doctrine we believe in this doctrine and doctrine, all that religious gibberish. Now that is not going to be the case. This is a revival of true spirituality. It will involve a lot of spiritual activity. It will not be uncommon, as I've said, for people to have almost experiences on a regular basis of angelic activity. Now, also tell you, specific to this ministry, there's going to be a birthing of several watchmen, okay? People who are teaching the kind of message that I'm teaching, preparing people for the coming of the end times. Now, so many people are going to pick up this thing and go and carry it across the country and across the world. And so the end time message is going to be preached regularly over and over again, even in churches, churches where people have had settled down into some kind of message which always revolves around, you know, almost the same principle, hope, you know, telling people to hope that things might still be better. Not even faith, just hope. Now they are going to take on the entire message, and because God wants to move people from the worldly perspective to the eternal perspective. Now, what does it, worldly perspective mean? Where people go to church, but they are not thinking any. And I've been in churches, and it's a very sad thing, by the way, where people are not thinking anything beyond, I want a car, I want a house, I want a husband, I want a wife, I want what, all of which are good, and all of which are supposed to be just to be a bonus. But now, when you start thinking that we are living in the end times, in a short time from now, we'll be standing on the judgment seat of the Lord, and he's going to ask, I gave you the power, watchman, I gave you the power to do ABC. You were equipped, it was in you. I sent you were born to do ABC. How much of what I sent you to do have you done? Then you start weeping. By the way, it says there will be weeping at the judgment seat of Christ, even if that is going to be in heaven. Okay? Why will you weep? You'll weep because you'll see what you could have done and what you had the ability to do vis-a-vis what you actually did. Why? Because you spent all your life telling people how you want a car, you want a house, you want a husband, you want a wife, you want what, and you waste your whole life on that. And if you actually did what God was, if you actually got the eternal perspective and pursued God's line, you'd get all those things. You'd get them even without a struggle. As you're busy pursuing God, you're getting all those things without a struggle, and you'd have a very good life. But actually, it's like you look at it, people look at you and you have a good life, but you're actually consumed by something bigger, something eternal, something like, when I stand before Jesus, I mean, how much of what he sent me to do will I have done? How much of what I was equipped to do am I actually doing? Am I wasting my life in things which are going to end here, or am I
You know, now I'm not saying that the things here are not important. You know, I don't believe that. I'm telling you that those things can be given to you in plenty, and you'll have a lot of them. People will admire you, but deep down for you, you are pursuing something totally different, which is what the Lord wants us to have, an eternal perspective. Now this is going to come now, and as God, now this is the seventh thing, God is going to lead us into a higher level of communion with Him this year. Now anticipate to have this, a deeper and higher level of communion. Also, this comes by grace, because I'll tell you this, there is a grace to do certain things. For instance, I'm not somebody who finds it so easy to wake up very early in the morning, but these days I just find myself awake and out of sleep, totally out of sleep, and then I go and I pray up to morning. Okay, of course sometimes then I doze during the day, but that's okay, because I have the liberty to sleep during the day if I want. The point is that there is a grace to bring us into a communion with God, and that communion is going to be a very powerful weapon as the devil also steps up his game. But we are not, the communion is going to God, I mean, because the Bible says in the book of Daniel that the wicked will continue being wicked and the just will continue being just, and not just continue, but they will become more, and that's why it says that those who know their God will do great exploits. Then it says in the book of Zechariah that the army of the end time, the weakest among them will be like David. Now imagine, this is you and me, the weakest among them will be like David, and the strongest will be like God himself. Now that is God empowering, okay, his church. That's in Zechariah 13. That's God empowering his church. So for this final, think about it, the weakest of them will be like David. Imagine slaying Goliath and all the things that David did, and that's just the weakest, okay, and the strongest will be like God himself. Now this is us in the end times, but it is going to be based on the level of communion. So make up your mind to spend some time in the presence of God. It might not be something you're very used to on a daily basis. Perhaps you're somebody who prays once in a week and kind of hopes for God's grace, and when you get into trouble, you say a short prayer, and maybe one before you go to sleep, and one before you eat, and basically that's it. But you don't put any pressure on yourself. Just start building it up a bit. Spend some time, read the Bible, spend some time in the presence of God, and build it up. If you're a 5-minute person, read a chapter of the Bible. Read a chapter of the Bible, in the epistles, in the gospels, or anywhere else really, but read a chapter of the Bible a day. Then spend some time praying and committing your life to God and telling Him that you want to be a part of this end time harvest, and you're opening yourself up for the grace that is on release, that He might put His grace upon you so that you can do all these things to lift you up, okay, and open yourself. Tell Him that His will is your will. You have no will of your own. Now this is the sign of maturity, because when kids are young, they have their own opinions of how things are supposed to be done, and you know, they always have arguments. You tell them do this, they want to do the other and all that. But when somebody becomes mature, then when a Christian becomes mature, he understands that God is not there to help you do your will, okay. God, you are there to help God do His will. Now you were created for that purpose. Now understanding that and living it is the mark of maturity, and you are not supposed to have a will of your own. Jesus said, my will is to do the will of Him who sent me. My food is to do the will of Him who sent me, okay. And He says also in the book of John that He doesn't even consult His own will. When something comes up, He's not even thinking about what do I want. He's thinking about what does God want. He says, that's Jesus now saying, I just see what does the Father want. It says in the Amplified, He does not even consult His own will. He's not interested in what His will is. All He's interested in is what God's will. Now that's a very powerful thing, and it's usually a mark of maturity. But God is bringing us into higher level of communion with Him. Now I'll go through them. Number one, there's anointing for prosperity, to manifest speedily prosperity, and a removal of debt. So step into that one. Divine disconnections and divine connections. Disconnections from people who are keeping you back, and or places or people or habits or any such thing that is keeping you back, and divine connection to something or somebody or some place that is going to take you to the next level. There is a grace for that. Number three, it's going to be a change of leadership in the church, and it is going to be, you study it and see where the church is moving. Don't hold on to somebody because he once had a powerful name. Please don't hold on to somebody. Don't hold on to somebody. Don't hold on to somebody because he once had a powerful name. People can once be one thing and then they turn out to be another thing. You know that from the Bible. We all know that from the Bible. I read you that scripture in 1 John where he says the antichrists were one of us. They were in the church. They were one of us. But they left us and now they are antichrists. He's calling them antichrists. But he's saying they were one of us. So don't hold on to somebody just because he has a name, as having once been a very powerful man of God. Look at it in the now. Operate in the now. Is he now a man of God? Does he have the word of God? Is he doing the things that manifest the, you know, the purpose of God? That's the key. So, change of leadership. Number four, spirit of discernment. For people to tell between what's real and what is fake, and it's going to be a lot easier for you. You'll see something fake even before, you know, you can, even before you can be deceived by it. Somebody comes just giving you something which is fake. You walk into a church or into a fellowship which is fake, and instantly you know this is fake, and you move out because the spirit of discernment has been given to you. Revival in the church, especially revival which is starting with school children, and it's a revival of spirituality, not of doctrine or of orthodoxy. It will involve plenty of spiritual activity, and to not be uncommon for people to start seeing a lot of angelic activity. And as I said, specific to this ministry, there won't be a bath of several watchmen to teach the message of the end time. And then God is bringing us into a time of a higher level of communion with him. Now, next week I'll talk about the things that we expect in the world vis-a-vis Bible prophecy, in the world politically, in the world socially. I actually had a dream. Now, Turkey and Russia, of course, we know they ended the year when, you know, there was a lot of tension between them. Now, I had a dream, I think, must have been around maybe 31st of December, 30th or 31st of December. I had a dream in which I was a Turkish plane and a Russian plane crashed. But actually, it was by accident. But the Russians thought that the Turkish had actually intentionally brought down the plane. And in the dream, I was actually in one of those planes, not the one that crashed. I was in the Turkish plane, and it hit like almost the wing of one of the Russian plane, and the Russian plane came down. Then I saw a Russian missiles being thrown into Turkey. I'll tell you what I think that dream means next time, but it's one of the key things that are going to form, because that belligerence between Russia and Turkey is not going to end. It did not end last year, and it's not easing down. It is just going to increase, and it is going to lead into something. Now, there are also some dreams which other people have been giving me, which I know that are spiritual, which are pointing us towards a certain direction. So we want to study what's happening here, and I'll tell you by the way, from what I've learned from the Lord, what I believe we are going to be seeing this year and what we should prepare ourselves to see this year. So I've told you just the seven that we should expect in the church. Anyhow, so now as we get out of this, I have to inform you, number one, that our Watchman overnights begin this Friday, the day after tomorrow. They will be in the same place that they have been, Wuma Showgrounds in Logogo, in the Madivani Hall. They begin this Friday in Logogo. And it's important for all of us to come, because we have to have an altar, not just for this, I mean, not just for ourselves, but for the country as well. And ultimately, we are going to be having an altar for what's happening in the world, because we are watchmen. Okay? We are watchmen. So anybody who actually is, as many people as can who are listening to me right now, should come for the overnights, because I teach so many people about so many. I teach about one thing which the Lord has been teaching me about, but also it is an altar, and that's what it is going to be, an altar that sustains this country. And I want you to be a part of it, because there is a reward. Don't forget that God has called us to be the salt and the light of this world. So that's how we are going to be. So this Friday, starting 10 p.m. at Wuma Showgrounds, Madivani Hall, the Watchman overnights resume. They will be every Friday until the end of the year. We had just taken, they started actually in October. We had taken a short break to go and seek the Lord towards the end of the year for Christmas, not necessarily for Christmas, but throughout the Christmas period and the New Year to go and seek the Lord. But now we are coming back until the end of the year, every Friday. Please come. If you know somebody who needs any sort of form of prayer and what, we'll have my book, The Rich Man Virus, there on sale, as well as messages, some messages from here, from the radio show, as well as some that I will have preached in previous overnights, and so many of the others. People were asking for that message of feeding the 5,000. We'll have it there as well. So please, as much as possible, try to make it for the Watchman overnights. Now, just so you know, if you want to discuss something, if you want to send me a dream asking for interpretation, don't send me a WhatsApp. I'm not very good at WhatsApping things like, you know, dreams and stuff like that. Use email, okay? Use email, and actually so many people send me dreams by email and I help them in interpretation. So use email, and the email is ugandanwatchman@gmail.com, ugandanwatchman@gmail.com. But if you have a brief message you want to give me or something, you can use the phone, the number, or if you want to sow a seed, this is a number which is registered on mobile money. It's 0780-292-555. I'll say it again, 0780-292-555. You can also use that WhatsApp number if you want to say that. Don't send me a message saying hi. I mean, I'm not going to start a chat with you. Just send me a message saying, Watchman, what about this, and this, and this. Make your state your point. Don't say hi or good morning. What? I mean, it's a ministry line. It's not my private line. Okay? And I'm not going to start a chat with you on the ministry line, if you know what I'm saying. So, use it well. Okay? You can sow a seed there, of course, and you can send a WhatsApp or even an SMS if you want to. If you have something urgent, maybe you need prayer, Watchman, can you please pray for me? I'm going for a job interview right now. Just believe with me for this. Now, I welcome things like that. Now, that's somebody who is serious. So then, when I receive the WhatsApp, I will take time and believe with you for that job interview. Don't send me hi and expect I'll say hi. Then you say, how is your day? My day is okay. This is not going to happen. I mean, that's simply not going to happen. So, thank you so much for listening to The Watchman. Have yourselves a wonderful evening. Send an email if you have any question or comment, or if you want to sow a seed towards the overnight or any of the things happening in this ministry. The number is 0780-292-555. Have yourselves a good evening and God bless you.
Do you want to see how Bible prophecy fits perfectly into contemporary news? What's this business about the Antichrist and the mark of the beast? Who is the Antichrist? Be him alive? How shall the number 666 be introduced in commerce? The Watchman dissects fascinating insights into the end times and Bible prophecy. Make a date with The Watchman every Wednesday, 9 to 10 p.m. only on Spirit FM 96.6. Tune in and stay on